Welcome to the Inclusive Leader Spotlight, a podcast that showcases leaders who are making a positive impact in the workplace by leveraging diversity, equity, and inclusion. I am your host, Juan Taveras, founder and CEO of DEI ProFinder. Our business is dedicated to fostering connections between business leaders and right-fit DEI professionals. We are on a mission to demystify diversity, equity, and inclusion, and we're doing it one conversation at a time. We believe that DEI is not only a moral and social obligation, but also a business imperative that can create positive and engaging workplaces, boost productivity, and drive innovation. Join us as we explore the power of DEI and its potential to transform the workplace and society at large. Welcome to another episode of the Inclusive Leader Spotlight. I am super excited to connect today with Lakia Elam, founder and principal consultant of Magnificent Differences Consulting, LLC. Lakia is an HR veteran with more than 20 years of experience who specializes in diversity, equity, and inclusion, hiring, and culture building. Lakia is particularly passionate about building workplace cultures that thrive off of diversity. I love that. Lakia's holistic approach to HR is based on the idea that employees who feel empowered and valued produce the best work. And I couldn't agree more. As such, her strategy for diverse culture building goes beyond the hiring and onboarding process and focuses instead on the prolonged employee experience to create lasting, impactful cultures that foster employee belonging, engagement, and success. Welcome, Lakia.
Thank you. Thank you, Juan. So nice to be here.
So great to have you. I am really excited to have this conversation with you. As you know, our mission at DEI ProFinder and through this podcast is to help demystify the diversity, equity, and inclusion landscape, because there is so much confusion out there. And unfortunately, DEI is getting a lot of pushback recently, and that it gets a lot of attention in the media. So our goal is to speak to professionals like you doing work in the HR/DEI space, and highlighting the positive, right? Like highlighting how the positive impacts this is having on the workplace and how it could benefit not just employees, but also employers when you do this work well. So we're going to dive into your expertise, your unique approach to this work, your secret sauce, if you will, and sort of what sparked your passion to do this work. But before we dive into all of that, I know our audience is eager to know, who are you and what do you do?
Listen, thank you. I mean, what more can I say after that wonderful introduction? They just got it all. In short, I'd say, you know, I'm an HR professional. But first, I'm just a human. I'm a person who want to see workforces be better. And why is it workforces? Because what is a workforce? It's people. I want to see people happy. I want to see people thriving. I want to see people realizing success in their own way through work, right? Knowing that they can show up and then add value to organizations so that then organizations can achieve their goals. So through my organization, live at the intersection of employers and employees, helping them to do better work and the work necessary so that everyone can realize or experience that win-win.
I love that. Love that so much. And there's so much that you said there that as you were saying, I'm thinking we spend more time at work than anywhere else, right? So that's why the workplace is such an important focus point in this work. And it's also where so much natural diversity happens, because we're bringing different people together. So now we, to your point, coming together of business goals and needs with the individuals that are being called to do that work. And then how does that all work together for the benefit of everyone? So love that. Okay. So here's a question I'd like to start with, related to your passion for diversity, equity, and inclusion. So what ignited your passion in this work?
It's funny. Living the experiences. I've always been, so my introduction to diversity truly was when I started working. Yeah. Until that point, everything, my neighborhood, my community was a lot of people that looked like me, a lot of people that came from and was experiencing throughout the stages of my life those similar things that I was experiencing. Some of us came from one parent household of just a mother or mother and a grandmother. Some people came from two parent households, or some people were just raised by a grandparent. But all of the experiences were similar, and it was not until I started working that I found myself in this place where it's like, I'm not sure if I belong. Like, why don't I belong? What it and it was that thing. It was, and not shying away from who I was, but now recognizing the differences in who I was, the way that I thought, the things that I said, the way, in fact, that I said them, the way that I dressed, like everything, right? And now I'm in these spaces, and then I'm feeling like the odd man out, right? And it's like, wait, why is this? Why is this? And all I had was, just some drive. I think I'm gonna use the word my drive to push, like what is going on, to think about, drive to think about, like, why is it so different? Like, what is going on? I've heard these stories now, and I'm experiencing them. And so it's that thing. It's experiences lived, and now and then, as my career grew, it's experiences learned from because of my career helping people, and then seeing it at scale. At scale, it's like, no, this isn't right, right? Like, this is not the way it's supposed to be.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that, because it's I hear that often, that it is a personal experience or connection that bring people to this work. And what I heard there is you first experienced this in the workplace for yourself, and then you got curious about it. It sounds like you started asking questions and seeing some trends that that didn't sit well with you, which makes sense. And it's awesome that you chose to do something about that and decided to get into HR. So actually, that's another interesting question, because this is I'm also an HR professional, so I see the value in having an HR lens when doing diversity, equity, and inclusion work. And I've noticed, especially over the last few years, in some organizations, DEI and HR being split. Sort of the DEI is this at a higher strategic level, and then HR still remains an administrative function in some cases. But what's your perspective on that? How should those two bodies of work engage?
I think, to your point, it depends on the organization. If the organization does not see HR as a strategic partner and having that HR role does not have a seat at the table, then in a diversity role does, that diversity role should be closely linked. I'm talking about almost attached at the hip to HR, because that's where the work is done, right? HR is the work on is making sure that they have a great experience. How can we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion of our workforce if we're not closely linked to the people? So just depending on the structure of the organization and where they feel like they want to put their resources, I think leaders have to know that they are not, that even if they're different functions, that they're almost one and the same, that they have to be like twins, if you will.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And maybe I'm biased because of my HR background, but I hear that. When you think about you have a DEI strategy, but the implementation and the execution of that strategy, it's all people focused, right? And HR is at the core of all of those people processes, policies, procedures. HR is the function or the team that you first engage with as a potential employee, right, during the hiring and recruiting process. And then all of the life cycle touch points, it's HR. So if you want to embed DEI deeply into your organization and focus and have a people-centered approach, you have to be partnered with HR. And better still, it's when those two functions are under the same umbrella. So it's not left up to the individuals to figure it out. It's just kind of built into the structure that HR and DEI are in the same on the same team.
Right. That's when it's done right. I think sometimes we get caught up on the metrics and the data, right? And then so DEI becomes a data metrics driven approach to bring more money in, to attract more, just depending on, to attract more resources or to attract more, attention for the organization. The moment that an organization makes a DEI strategy about that and not people-centered is the moment they go wrong. And that's what they have to realize. It is a people-centered approach. I cannot tell you how many times I was a part of, an executive recruitment search, and I hear people say, "It's a diverse candidate. It's a diverse candidate. It's a diverse." And I'm like, "Is it a qualified candidate? We want diverse people. Don't get me wrong, but the moment that I hear that, it's like this is a metrics driven. This is not a like what you know what I mean? Like,
Absolutely.
so and here's my saying to that, right? It's like, don't welcome diversity just for the sake of welcoming diversity, just to meet that metric or that data point. Because when you come in, it's going to fail. That person's not going to be comfortable. They're not going to have a space. You give them a seat at the table, they won't have a voice because you're not ready to welcome that voice. You're not ready to welcome what they bring. And so then why waste your time and why waste theirs? Right? Like, why do that to a person? The data is important. We make decisions off data, but let's remember that it's a person behind the data. And let's, do the work necessary to be prepared to welcome diversity, to truly welcome diversity into organizations, not just doing it for the optics or the sake of doing it.
Oh gosh, that's so powerful. I think that I've also seen that process sort of follow that path and ultimately backfire. And you're right, it's not good for the individual, obviously, but it's also the organization doesn't recognize there's some invisible costs to that, right? The ripple effect that that has when it's essentially like a performative approach. It's like, oh, look, we can check off the box. We have quote unquote diversity at the senior level. But what does that mean? What are we how is that aligned with your business objectives and what are you ultimately trying to achieve? Because otherwise that person is just like a poster child for your diversity initiative, right? And how much that can't feel good for anyone. But then the ripple effect of that is that your other staff members and employees they notice. They're like, oh, that's what we're talking about. That's not really, we haven't taken our DEI work deeper into the organization. We're still at that superficial, here's what we can see and measure, but not what we can do with our current employees. It's yeah, great points there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I also like to focus in some of the work that I get to do on because diversity is, to your point, because it's measurable. That's and business business leaders love data and metrics that they can measure. It's easy to start there, but I actually believe that starting with inclusion is will attract more diverse candidates, right? When you have a culture where your current staff members and employees can We that you're where you're currently leveraging the diversity that already exists in your workforce, then everything else will happen more organically as opposed to starting with your, and I think you said this in your response is you bring somebody in for the sake of diversity, but then you're not really ready internally to leverage that or make that person feel like they belong and like they're valued, other than this metric that you're measuring.
Absolutely.
Thoughts on that? Yeah.
When people feel like they belong, I spoke earlier about like me not belong. You don't bring you think twice about bringing your thoughts. You think about bringing your ideas. You don't feel like when you're not included, then if you're not included, just forget about it, right? Because you're not included in the first place. So obviously you can't give your two cents. But when you feel like you belong, you care differently. This I belong here. This is a place that I'm included. So this is partly mine. And so what you give, the way in which you give it's different, right? Like you ca that care. It's hard to even put into words the way that that care shows up when you're included and you feel like you belong. And so to your point, it's real. And if or so I think, and I think some organizations don't even know how to do it. They think that they're doing it, but they don't know how to do it, right?
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
you know, how many, I can't tell you how many times early in my career as a problem will be happening in an organization. I'm sitting back and I'm like, all they have to do is just move this over to do this, like the, and then it's done. I try to say something and I'd say it in my vernacular, in my tone, right? Like, and they couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear beyond the way that I said it, right?
Yeah.
Professionals, but just the way that it came out, or they didn't want to hear it because there was no way she, right, could, she can figure this out when we can't figure this out. Like, she used to have a GED. She don't even, you know, just a GED. Like, she didn't even go to college. She, you know, it's that thing. And people don't realize that those bias, how those biases, how they show up, and then how they prevent the good work from happening.
100%. And I think you said a couple things there that resonate with me. The first one was about when you feel included, you give so much more to the organization, to the work, because you see the work is representing you, right? It's an extension of you. And you can only do that when you feel safe to do it, when you feel like I can say something and not be afraid of any kind of retribution or judgment or getting in trouble, you know. But that's the reality for many people that they are withholding. And here's what they're withholding, right? Let's be real. Like, it's creativity, it's innovation, it's ideas that can change your business that you are not getting because this individual doesn't feel like they can speak up or they can share. And then the other piece that you just mentioned about, oh gosh, I think I lost it. Oh, the bias. Yes, unconscious bias. It's such an important thing to be aware of because we all have them, right? This is we all have lived experience and things that we've learned growing up and in our cultures and what we've been taught that lives in our subconscious and it's the lens through which we see the world. But when we become aware of how much, right, outside of our peripheral, like outside of our view, we cannot see that other people can. That's sort of the first step in understanding, like, okay, I don't have all the answers. I don't, and actually collectively, when we come together as a group, we become stronger because of that, right? So love that you said that.
That teamwork, what you're talking about right now, is really what helped me to grow, right? So it's easy to take things personally. It's easy to take them personally and then to allow that to make you go deeper and deeper into a shell. But when you recognize that I bring some biases to the table too, I have some, you know, like, oh, I see, you know, and I could be wrong, but it's just because we don't know. A lot of times it's because we don't know. If you haven't been exposed to it and people haven't taken the time to share with you and you to share with them so that then you could grow together, how do you know? But when you are in that space, we're not taking stuff personally. We're having conversations to make people aware. Now, if you have five or six conversations and the person still does the same thing, then, you know, or multiple, I can't put a number on it, then it was like, okay, but you try to meet people where they are, give them, you know, help them to better understand you and that space, and you do the same for them. The beauty and the teamwork and knowledge share and gain that comes from that, you can't put a dollar, you can't put a price tag on it, personally or professionally, right? The growth that happens when you step into those unknown spaces and you start to learn things that's outside of, you know, this space that we kind of live in or that we know, because, oh, it's why I am where I am today. And I'm sure you shared your stories, it's why you are where you are today, right? It's because we decided to step into the unknown and to embrace it and to learn from it instead of letting it diminish who we were.
Oh, I love that. There's so many sound bites that I'm going to pull from this episode. You're saying so many awesome things. And it makes me think of something I want to do with our podcast is bust some myths about diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? Like there's so many misunderstandings out there. And one of the things you just mentioned is a common misunderstanding that there has to be controversy or conflict is the word I was looking
conflict,
for.
Yeah.
And there could be, right? But to your point, we can't take it personally. It's not about us as individuals, it's about the collective, right? So the work that we have to do internally is opening up to other perspectives, other possibilities, and removing ourselves from these conversations, right? Because it becomes an exchange of ideas. So to your point, when a team is working really well together, they should be able to exchange ideas openly, even if it's different than what someone else is saying. It's just proposing a different perspective. It's not negating someone else's. It's just adding on to it. So we're all putting in our part, and all of those pieces combined become this new thing that could not have been created if we had not all been open and just kept it took our personality out of it, right? And just kept it about the ideas.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll even take our experiences out of it. Yeah. Because just because we had this experience way back when with mm-hmm. somewhere else at another company with someone else, even at the same company, it doesn't mean that this experience is rooted in that too, yeah. right? Yeah. There may be some similarities, but what did we learn from the previous one? And it's taking each experience and building onto it so that then again, we can continue to grow. We can continue to see differently with our lens. We can continually readjust the lens in which we're seeing from the space in which we're coming from, because that ultimately makes it better. And you just said something that's key, having tough conversations. That's the start of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like that is the start of it. Being able to sit across from someone or several someones in a group and have these conversations that are rooted and real, that would we, to the extent possible, could really remove the emotion and focus on the facts and then knowing what we're trying to get out of it. You and I cannot sit across from each other at our first such tough conversation, and you expect me to walk away all knowing about all of the points and in 100% agreement with everything. But did I take enough away so that then the next time we're not starting from square one?
Mm-hmm. We're like that.
Right? And then where's the grace? Sometimes it's like, where is the grace in knowing, right? We cannot expect one, like no one's perfect. We got to extend some grace for growth.
Yeah.
You have to extend some grace for, you know, people trying to understand.
Yeah.
We have to extend some grace for people not being, for lack of exposure. And then if you were the one that had exposure to something, recognize what a blessing that is.
Yeah.
Right?
I love that.
So it's just, so what we're having, this need to be a group conversation right here, right now. Because we're about to pause, your listeners, your audience, I'm hoping that they will be moved by this and it'll help them take these conversations and carry it over into their space, right? So that then they can start to see or recognize that coworker, you know, down the hall or, you know, over Zoom now. And I'm old school, we still down the hall. But that, you know, and think about the space in which they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then relook at it, right? Like treat them a little bit differently and give them some space and understanding.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you're speaking to our audience, because this is what we want the folks listening to walk away with these tangible, you know, things that they can practice today, right? How to connect with an individual. And as you were speaking, I remembered a quote, or not a quote, but something a mentor of mine once said, and I don't know where he got it, but he talks about judgment divides, but curiosity connects, right? So when we come from a place of curiosity, we're trying to build bridges. We're trying to connect with another individual. And what you said made me think of curiosity, like where, instead of assuming, making assumptions about this individual and their lived experience and where their mindset is coming from, be curious about it because they have not had the experiences that you've had. And it's almost a privilege to for us who have had those experiences and can come to those conversations with an open mind. But the other individual who might not be where you are, that doesn't make them bad or a bad or evil or whatever, right? And because it's not personal, it's just how they are currently wired. And until they increase their awareness of this new thing, then they can't understand it. And if we, in order for us to make it safe, right, for them to step out of their zone of I guess comfort, the comfort zone, to embrace this different perspective, we have to be curious and meet them where they're at, as opposed to judging them or making assumptions about them that, and as we know, assumptions are 9 times out of 10 are incorrect, because
Exactly.
they don't give us the full story, right?
Exactly. That's it. And we're talking people at all levels and organizations. I think too, a lot of times, especially younger professionals, but it can happen at any stage, for like because a person is a CEO or their VP, their director, their people manager, that they should know better. Take the titles away, and then they're still all people, and we just don't know. And so, so recognizing that too, that they too can make the same mistakes that we're talking about, peer to peer. But there is a deeper, I believe anyway, a deeper responsibility for people in positions of leadership to do some work, the work necessary to uncover their biases, to do the work necessary to ensure that they are treating their team members appropriately, right, fairly, equitably. And then there's some work as we go up the ladder for CEOs and executives to make monies available for training, to make that training's priority, right? Management trainings, diversity training, inclusion trainings for them to do that work, for them to invest in whatever's necessary to create better cultures. And so there is a, as we move up, increased responsibility and things that organizations should be, can be, doing to make sure that they become these places of belonging and that their entire workforce, right, feels have a place where they can show up and then do and be. Because they're, so while we spend a lot of time at work, they still have a family that they need to be for, that they need to grow for, that they need. And so let's create these spaces where people can just be better and do better.
Love that, and be proud of where they worked. Yeah. All right. I want to recap a few things there because there's a lot of good stuff there. Because I agree with first that self work, that leaders specifically, the higher up you go in the hierarchy, the higher or bigger the responsibility, right, of this of the need to create culture, because culture starts at the top, right? Our leaders are the ones that set the tone for how everyone else is going to behave. The behavior that they're going to model starts from the CEO and the executive team on down, right? So there is a additional responsibility on leaders to do this work, and specifically the internal piece of recognizing your own biases and understanding, like finding ways, whether it's through coaching or reading more books or getting exposed, listening to these kinds of podcasts, right? To expose yourself to new and different ideas, to expand your thinking so that you can serve your people better and create an environment where everyone can contribute authentically and feel valued. And then the other piece is back that up with resources, right? With training, with the support that your team is going to need to develop the processes, systems, and procedures to create that culture that you want to create. And that's where professionals like yourself come in, right? This is your where you spend a lot of your time is partnering with businesses and organizations to help them create that culture. So let's talk a little bit before we wrap up about the work that you do and how you typically engage with clients.
Certainly. So, and always, right? So executive leaders come to me, really, we for a variety. So through like employee relations, helping managers to understand and showing them, right, like the ways, how do we do, how should we approach this situation? Because no two are the same, and still just depending on the level of the professional, their background, like they may show up differently. And so are we dinging one in this space and then not dinging another person in this space? And it's almost the same thing. It's just the way that then is delivered. But really, my biggest work outside of employee relations and recruitment comes from helping organizations, and I call it getting rid of the petty policies.
Ooh,
Because it's through those PPPs, right, policies, processes, and procedures, that a lot of unconscious bias actually shows up, and people don't even realize it. It's like, come on, these things from, 2 decades ago that they're still carrying over in this handbook in 2024, we got to get rid of this because it's negatively impacting at large proportion a certain, percentage of your workforce, and we're not realizing it, right? Like, why is this here today? And so organizations really appreciate the approach, I guess the MDC approach, which is, again, it's all authentic. We're talking plain language here, but we're talking real things. We're talking substantial pieces that really impact the organization, because I'm seeing it when organizations, I'll take a step back, connect with someone outside of their space. We come in and we're seeing it totally different because we're not living it. And then we're able to give a perspective rooted in, like, so now it's rooted in some stuff. It might be rooted in metrics. It may be rooted in this. We're doing some surveys and we're hearing the voice of the people. Employees typically are able to just share with us, right? Because we're outside of all the business, built in
They feel a
trust
little
because of
safe.
our approach. And then we're able to take this information and then help them update those petty policies. We're able to help them think about their recruitment touch points, right? How many times they're touching the people, what they're saying, the way that they're reaching out, the places in which they're reaching out to the people. We're looking at those position descriptions and saying, hey, is a master's degree really necessary for this job? Right? Like, can we not? Is a background, like, do we need a background? Like, is a background check? Like, let's, and if so, if the background check is fine, but why do we need to look back 20 years? I'm just making up absurd numbers right now, right? This is what this does. And so really helping organizations that say that they want to make that real impact and create more diverse spaces, create a better, more inclusive, more together culture, we're helping them to look at the things that's just been happening for decades within their organization that's keeping them from getting there.
I love that. I love that you focus on the tactical, right? Not just tactical, because there's a lot of strategy involved there,
Absolutely.
but it's the real, like, we're going to make change in the next week. This isn't a 3 year long process. We're going to make the, I love that you call them petty policies, because getting rid of those, that's immediate. I think that an updated handbook that is more inclusive and more equitable, that is felt. That is an immediate change, right? I also like that you're calling out questioning why certain things are the way they are, right? Because I hear this all the time in my work. Oh, that's just how we've always done it. Or my leader wants this role to have a degree, so that's why that's there. It's like, but why? Is it required for the job? Or could it be a preference and not a requirement? There's like ways that you can start to think about some of the stuff in job descriptions and the way that we're thinking about talent. Because at the end of the day, the goal, especially when you think about where you're sourcing your talent, is to expand that pool, right? And get access to talent that you might not have considered, or that might have not considered you because of some of the language in your job description or on your website or whatever. So that's where the magic lives, I think. And then once you, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm fine. I was just
Oh, you're
listening.
just agreeing. We're so excited about some of this stuff. Okay, that's wonderful. So thank you for sharing that. One last question before we wrap up here is, I'm definitely going to remain in touch with you and continue the conversation. But folks listening to this podcast right now, if they wanted to continue the conversation as well, where can they reach you?
Certainly, they can find me on LinkedIn, Lakia Elam, LAKIAELAM, or they can go to our website, Hire MDC. So it's HIREMDC.com, and fill out the contact us sheet or form at the bottom of the website. We love conversations. We love connecting with people, right? This is all about relationships. We need to build relationships with people. They don't all have to be like-minded, but people that are just ready to make a change, regardless of where you're starting from, but you just want to make that positive change. We love connecting with people so that the more people, the merrier and the greater the impact.
I love that. Love that. This is people work at the end of the day, and it's about relationships.
Yes.
Beautiful. Well, I will make sure to have links to your website and your LinkedIn profile in our show notes, so make it easy for folks to find you. But Lakia, it's been such a pleasure. I'm so glad we got a chance to connect today, and we'll definitely have to have you back to continue the chat.
Listen, anytime. Thank you so much, Juan. I really enjoyed this conversation. We could have talked for hours,
Easily,
obviously.
yes.
So I'd be happy to come back and share more with your audience at any time.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Inclusive Leader Spotlight. We hope that you're walking away with a better understanding of DEI and how you can bring it to life in your organization. If you are an inclusive senior level business leader who would like to be on this program, please visit DEIProfinder.com and click on the podcast tab to apply to be a guest. Also, if you know someone that would be a great guest, please send them to our website. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing it on social media? You can find us by searching DEI Profinder on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and X. Include the hashtag Inclusive Leader Spotlight, and we'll make sure to show you some love. We are regularly putting on new episodes and content. So to make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast listening app. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Thank you again for listening and for your support of our mission to demystify diversity, equity, and inclusion. Together, we are exploring the power of DEI and its potential to transform the workplace and society at large. Until next time.